Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. So we're entering new territory this week, and I want to be the first to welcome you to the Candid Kiki. Now, for those who don't know, a kiki is a term that we use to describe getting together with your girlfriends and having a chat, talking about life, talking about career, talking about travels, talking about all the just good things that bring us joy when we get together in our groups of friendship circles and when we have fun with those conversations. So I wanted to bring a bit of that feeling, that vibe, that goodness to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. And a part of the reason is because when I brought on my girlfriends in the holiday season at the end of 2017 for a special episode, you all loved it. You loved it, and I listened and I paid attention. So I wanted to curate more conversations amongst girlfriends, and that's how I came up with the Candid Kiki. So I hope that you guys enjoy this first episode of the Candid Kiki. I hope that you enjoy the lovely ladies that we are going to meet this week. And let's just be open to the possibilities with the Candid Kiki, because I don't know where this may go, but I'm just hoping that you'll enjoy it and join me for the ride. This episode was recorded at The Office Berkeley, a co-working space that is a friend to the show. And if you are ever in the San Francisco Bay Area, make sure you check them out and stop in, because it's a beautiful space, comfortable environment, and very friendly place to work. It is theofficeberkeley.com if you're interested. Okay, so let's just jump right in here. We have some awesome ladies with us, and I'm going to let them go around the room and introduce themselves. This is something new that I'm trying. So you guys really liked the Christmas episode with my girlfriends. So I wanted to bring you another group of girlfriends, and let's just get into this chat. So we'll start with you, Shanti.
Yes. So my name is Chantel. Also go by Shanti. I focus on community marketing, specifically bringing social presences in person with events. And I'm also a micro influencer, which we'll get more into that later. A question that we're going to go around the room and answer is, what was your first job out of college? And my first job out of college was working for a talent agency. And I was an account executive, so a lot of sales, beating the pavement, and a lot of cold calling. So I learned so much from that and have carried along into my entire career.
Awesome. Cool. Hi, everyone. My name is Nella Chanoin, and I am known as the Bourbon Girl here in the Bay. I work with a major spirits company, and as of now, I am in marketing. I'm a marketing manager, pretty much putting on events and being some sort of an influencer, I suppose, within my field. My first job out of college was as a sales assistant for CBS Outdoor, which is an out-of-home company. And for those of you who don't understand out-of-home, basically billboard, so sign on a stick.
Hey, I'm Olivia, and I do brand strategy work. I work for myself, and my clients are mainly nonprofits and female-led companies. I help them do event strategy, podcasts, and videos. But in addition to that, I host and produce my own sports talk show called The Game Last Night. Go to YouTube, subscribe.
Awesome.
With anybody you've ever met in your entire life.
Right.
And my first job out of college was I worked for the mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah.
That sounds intense. So, right. It's funny how your career can just take you through some different experiences. So how would you ladies describe the early you, the you that was in her early 20s trying to figure it all out? Mm-hmm. Like if you could use one word to describe the early you or a couple words, how would you describe her though?
Hungry.
Mm. Hungry in what way?
I remember, like, when I got out of college, there were so many things I wanted to do, so many things I wanted to achieve. I also gave myself, like, time limits. Like, by 25, I have to make $1 million, and clearly that didn't happen. you know, just certain things, certain goals that I set for myself, I just felt so hungry and ready to take on any opportunity. Anytime someone came to me and say, hey, Nella, do you want to do this? I was always yes. Whereas now I'm kind of like, kind of not my thing. So I don't know if
you have more clarity.
Right. Maybe yeah. More clarity and maybe an understanding too. I think we were talking about this earlier, figuring out what you're passionate about, not just everything that you just have to jump onto just to say that you've done it.
Right, right. What about you ladies? How would you describe your early you?
I would describe my early me as lost. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, where it was going, and I just wasn't sure. So I was trying like 1,000,000,000 things, saying yes to 1,000,000,000 things that weren't quite aligned with me. So over time, I had to really do some deep work and figure out, okay, what is it that I'm passionate about? What is it that I'm good at? Mm-hmm. And then how do I apply that to an actual career?
And isn't that funny, coming out with a college degree, that we're kind of taught that this is what you went in for, so this is what you should be coming. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you still, like you say, you feel lost. You're like, well, that didn't work out.
Yeah. Right. Like, you got this degree, but what do I do with it?
I was the opposite of Shanti. I was like, I knew what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I started working in policy when I was like 18 or 19 doing volunteer work, and that like eased me into a city job, and then some elected officials knew the work that I was doing when opportunities opened up in their offices, they hired me. But my junior year of college, when I, or my junior year of high school, the then mayor of San Francisco, he'd just gotten elected, and I was like, if he gets reelected, by the time I get out of college, I'd work for him for 2 years. So I was like, a few years after that, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I was really determined on a particular path. And there are some parallels to what I do now as to what I did then. But I was very determined and specific about what I knew I wanted to do at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So considering all of these, like, certainty and uncertainty, so there's all these things that happen between, obviously, when you're in your early 20s and then when you get to a point where you start really feeling like, I gotta figure shit out. Can any of you share maybe a pivotal point in your life that made you maybe change directions or rethink some things, or I don't know, anything that you feel like was a pivotal point in your life, and sort of what made that a pivotal point for you?
When I turned 30, I remember being a milestone birthday, and the way society sets us up to make you feel like by 25, you're this. By 28, you're this. You know, by 30, you're this. And usually society sets it up that by 30, you probably have a house with a husband on the side and a couple babies pushed out. So you're thinking like, oh my God, I'm behind the curve because what am I doing wrong? So I remember for my 30th birthday, I had what I considered a pretty significant breakdown and what my family calls Nella being dramatic. And I started to realize like, okay, I'm in this position. I was by now 3 years into the sales assistant job. Title meant so much to me then because I remember thinking, that term assistant behind my name means that, you know, I'm just the lowest thing on the totem pole. And I was so embarrassed to tell people at 30 that I was a sales assistant. So I remember really kind of hunkering down and trying to figure out, all right, what do I want to do next? Do I want to go into broadcasting? Because that's what I went to college for. I was a broadcast major. I'm working at CBS. That was the whole point of working at CBS, so I can kind of transition out. But come to find out of home was the redheaded stepchild, and they don't really talk to the people in TV at CBS. So there was really no way for me to kind of transition over into the TV side. So years and years started to pass, and I did I did a lot of other different things. I was an innkeeper at a really famous bed and breakfast in Brooklyn. I volunteered for a nonprofit organization that ran events for nonprofit agencies. I did everything. I like to consider myself the Jane of all trades. But I didn't like that because I was like, I want to be the master of one thing. So I started to, you know, try to figure out what it was. And then the opportunity came for me to be this bourbon girl. And I never drank bourbon a day in my life. But obviously I convinced eight people in this interview that I could do it. And I originally applied for the position in Manhattan. They filled that position. They were like, sorry, we filled it. 2 weeks later, I got a call. They're like, hey, we really liked you, but are you willing to move to San Francisco? And I was like, I ain't got no babies, no man, no nothing. Yeah, like, let's go. Let's do it. So after talking to my family, I was like, listen, I'm not happy here. Even though I love New York, I'm not thriving here. And I think this is an opportunity for me to jump on. So I'm kind of still in that position of figuring it out or figuring my pivotal moment of change, because as I was talking to Liv earlier, I'm at another transition point where change is on the horizon. So I think it just keeps going.
That's ongoing. I feel like that's one thing that I do want to just say, like, nothing is constant and forever in our lives. So things are always going to be changing. We just have to figure out how to ride that wave of change and make it work for us,
right,
versus being in opposition and getting stuck in the wave. Absolutely. You know, does anybody else have like a pivotal point that they feel like really sort of maybe changed things for them, or they had to make a crucial decision?
This makes me think of Liv's workshop, Own Your Story, because I feel like there are several pivotal points. But the first one, since we were talking about out of college, was at that job when I was an account executive. I felt so unsettled and so indecisive about what I wanted to do next. And yes, I did have those milestones, like I should be this by 25, and my 25th birthday was approaching. And so I kind of had like a quarter life crisis. I freaked out. I was going to join the Air Force. I wanted some kind of drastic change.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what brought me to San Francisco, because a position opened up at that same firm that I was at as an account executive, same role and everything, in San Francisco. So I jumped on it, and that's been like a pivotal point in my life, and I'm so thankful that I did that.
Bays
for the bay.
Okay, so of your strengths, which one would you say has helped you the most to get you to where you are today?
I'd say my biggest strength is that I don't sweat the small stuff. I've had a lot of different career experiences, and it wasn't until maybe 6 months ago that I really saw the common thread. I was open to experience. I mean, I quit working in politics because when you work for an elected, electeds need votes, so they kiss all the babies. But I was like, some of these babies are ugly. I don't know how to have some of these babies. So I had spent all of those years planning on, I'm working in policy, I could be a staffer, I might run for office one day. And after moving to San Francisco and it not being the dream that I thought it would be, I quit and started doing consulting without any idea of really how to be a consultant. I just started getting hired by people to do certain things that I thought I was good at. 13 years later, I'm still doing it. And it's been, you know, feast or famine. There's some challenging eras, 2007, 2008, during that time. We're riding the wave, but what I'm proud of is that I'm flexible. And I am malleable. Like, this is something that people need. People want somebody with this experience. Let me learn that. Teach myself stuff, go to learn from other people, go to workshops and things, and all that has added value to me. So now I feel like I'm in a position where I can offer lots of different things to people, and I don't have to fit into their role. They have to fit into mine. Like my calendar, I have time for it. It works.
Awesome.
If not, I will grab a glass of bourbon with Nella and get my eyebrows done with Chauncey.
I love it. I love it. Anybody else recognize your strength, your core strength, maybe?
I would say being driven is a very big core strength for me, because I have switched jobs, careers, you know, multiple times, and my family's always like, wow, you know, you just, you know, even if the chips are down or whatever the saying is, you just keep going. And I really appreciate that about myself. And I like nice things. I like nice clothes. I like my car to actually work. I like a nice apartment. So that drives me. I mean, that's not the money is not the only thing that drives me, but I mean, success is relative. Obviously, the definition of success is relative. But for me, I think my drive just continues to put me out there to try different things. I'm proud that I've been in all these different industries. But like I said, I'm at a point in my life now where it's like, all right, let's find the one thing that you're going to master that feels purpose-driven.
Right.
And that you can really kind of ride the wave with maybe until the end. And it may be a bit of each thing that I've kind of, you know, experienced. I just don't know what that is yet. But my drive, I think, will get me there.
Absolutely.
Help me figure it out.
Absolutely. Shanti?
So for me, I resonate with a lot of you two's comments on being driven and determined. But I think perseverance is something that is a big trait for me. So being flexible also, but with that, no matter what curveballs are thrown, like, I do also like to have a comfortable lifestyle as well. So just persevering after those goals, even though the ebbs and flows and they do adjust over time, has been a trait that I appreciate about myself.
What's been one of the most useful pieces of advice that you've gotten throughout your years of life? Because the advice doesn't have to come from a professional standpoint. It could have been something that was said in your personal life that you were able to carry over, or whatever has impacted you.
Well, the most recent thing someone said to me was, honey, it's always going to be hard work like this. And so I thought, over time, things will get easier. Maybe opportunities would, you know, be...
Fall out of the sky.
Magically. And it does not work that way. And it's always going to be hard. And it's always going to be difficult. And it's never going to be perfect. So that's like the biggest piece of advice, like most recently, that resonated.
And don't let social media fool you.
Right?
It'll hypnotize you into believing everyone's life is so amazing.
I love that word, hypnotize you into it.
It will. Because I've gotten caught up. I'm like, oh my God, why am I not so fabulous? And you realize, like, wait, she wore that outfit 3 days ago. These are the same pictures from the same day. It will just hypnotize you into believing that everyone's perfect, but they're not.
I've deleted the app several times.
It's funny that you mentioned, like, the Instagram life, because I'm not big on Instagram. Like, I don't check the app very much, but I know it's important. I actually, you know, coach other clients to do it, but I don't like to do it for myself. But I went to celebrate the Super Bowl in Minneapolis a couple months ago. My brother lives there, so I could stay with him. And if you look on Instagram, you think I was kicking it with, like, all the players going to the afterwards. Right. Like, no, I'm in the mall. They grab my phone because 1,000 people have already done it to them. They grab my phone, take a picture, and move on. Right.
Yeah.
But you would really think that I'm rubbing elbows with Emmett Smith and all these folks. Yep. One day.
It will come to pass.
But just to kind of piggyback what you were saying, Shanti, about, like, it's never going to be easy. Like, these opportunities are going to be falling out of the sky. I think the key is, though, when you get to a place where you know what you want to do, the difficulties are kind of okay. Like, it's challenging, but it's like, because you're in the right space, you'll take it on.
Yeah.
And you're, like you said, persevere no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Because at the core of it, you're still doing what's important to you.
And preparation, like, everything that you're going through now is preparing you for what's to come and what you want and what you think you want. So it may feel challenging now, but when you get that big opportunity that you just were dreaming about, then you'll realize how some of the things that were challenging set you up to succeed in this position. So, you know, yes, it's all going to be work. Yes, it's sometimes it feels like it's never going to happen. But I'm also a big believer in things happening when they should and when they're supposed to, and not exactly when you think
when
they
you
should.
Want it,
yeah,
right.
When you want them to. Because
God's
when things, I was just saying this in the car. I mean, Drake said it best.
Are you listening to the white end? Oh,
God,
but it's Lord. Like, you know, it's like one of those things where it just sets you up, and then when things are in alignment, you realize it and you're like, everything's ticking just the way it should. Just the way it should. And I couldn't have planned it any better.
Absolutely.
You know, your schedule.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I want to say the best piece of advice I got, it was actually before I left my last position, remember I told you in the beginning I was so stuck on titles.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I just need a title with manager behind it, or, you know, director, or whatever the case was. And a good friend of mine, she was a director at the company that I was at. And I was like, you know, you're so lucky you have this title. She was like, Nella, you can call me assistant all day as long as my paycheck is right.
Hmm.
And I remember a light bulb went off and I was like, you're so right. I'm kind of focusing on the wrong thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, the respect obviously comes with title and all that other stuff. But if I'm still doing grunt work and I have the director behind my name, I'm kind of like, okay, this doesn't work well. So
it kind of
made me see things in a different way.
What role has relationships played in your life, whether it be friendship relationships or professional relationships, since you mentioned this woman who poured into you?
You know, it's funny. For a very long time, I always felt that I needed a mentor, and I've always chased people for mentorship. And they're always like, no, not me. I don't, you know, I'm not into that. You know, I can't do that. And I would be so sad because I'm like, why don't you want to be my friend and my, you know, my brother or my sister's keeper?
Right.
So what I've realized is, I mean, I can be my best mentor because I know what I want. I know what I need. But I also surround myself with people like you guys who are going through most likely the same thing that I'm going through, but have reached a level of success in one way or the other that I can kind of tap into for advice, or, you know, just to vent sometimes, or just to kind of pull apart like what the next step looks like for me. Because sometimes I always feel like people see me different than what I see.
Yeah, we all do.
Oh, you're such a great speaker. I'm like, what? I was fumbling and mumbling or whatever. And so it's always good to kind of connect with different people and have them be your mirror.
What about you, ladies?
Yeah, so you can be kind of your own worst critic. Like, we are way more harsh on ourselves than we are with other people. And we can always see the good in other people that we might not, you know, they might not necessarily see themselves.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, people that have inspired me along the way and like seeking mentorship, I do agree with Nella. I was seeking like a formal mentor, like, you know, asking for them to be a mentor to me and to guide me through certain things. I even hired a career coach as well.
What was that experience like?
And so the career coaching, I thought that it was really awesome. It got me through the period time frame when of what I needed.
Okay.
I was just very unclear. I was going into an entirely different lane of my workflow, and I just was so indecisive, and I was just so insecure and not as confident about my skills and what I could bring to the table. So I needed that like coaching and back and forth. But then I realized that some of those issues and professional problems, they were deeper than that. They were something that I probably should go speak to a therapist about. So I got that instead. And the coaching served its purpose for what it was. And so, yeah, with mentors, I do also agree with Nella. It is something that I feel like occurs naturally with your friends and your network and people you're reaching out to. But it is a little bit different on the opposite side to hire a career coach when the mentor thing, like, people weren't really down for that idea.
Right.
To pay someone to be that for me.
Yeah.
And so that's basically what I was doing to get me through that time frame. And it was expensive.
I believe it. But you know what is funny? Like, people talk about mentors and asking people to be their mentor. But what I've learned is, and I haven't really had like any hardcore mentors in my life. But what I have learned is that you let the relationship develop. You don't really ask someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you ask someone, a lot of people feel uncomfortable with the expectations that come along with being someone's mentor. So it's one of those things where if you just let it happen naturally and organically, it'll probably serve you better. And you'll look up and it's like, oh, that's my mentor. Who knew?
Yeah.
You know?
Natural evolution.
I think that's correct. For me, I've never really made a conscious effort to find a mentor. There were people, especially when I was working in policy, that I looked up to.
Mm.
And I read a lot of biographies and things about their, you know, trajectory professionally. So that helped me get a good framework for how I could see myself and potentially duplicate what they did. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, relaxing about being a mentor, because you're still an individual, right? So even if somebody mentored you and gave you their best tips, this is what I did, it's still about how you apply that
right.
to yourself. So really, you know, not wanting to compare yourself to other people, their experiences, their childhood, their family, their friends, it's all very different than what you've experienced. But it is good, I think, to obviously set some goals for yourself and then look at how people moved and what worked and didn't work for them. When I started my sports show, I didn't have a particular person that I was trying to imitate. Mm. Like, I'm a sports fan and I just want to talk the way that I talk. I want to curse and drink beer and
which is good. You just being natural and true to you.
Right. Exactly. But when it came down to the literal production, I did seek feedback from people that I respected. Mm-hmm. Would you watch the show if you didn't know that I was the host and we were friends? And I sent it to HBO and ESPN and all these major producers of content just by stalking people on LinkedIn. And they, as a result of me asking for their feedback, they have continued to follow up with me. How's it going? When am I going to see another episode? And that was kind of the natural evolution. But I didn't say, hey, be my mentor, tell me what to do. I made something happen and then gave them the opportunity to give feedback. So that's a potential way to find a mentor to get some feedback.
I love that too. Yeah. There's something interesting that you said about, I forget the exact word, but copying someone else's, maybe their story or their experience. Like, everyone is different.
Yeah.
And I really resonated with that.
Yeah. You don't have to try and duplicate what somebody else is doing. You can be inspired by someone's actions or their movements, but you also have to tap into your authenticity and what feels natural and normal for you, because that's just going to take you further. And then you'll have ideas and things will come to you and opportunities will come to you because you're just operating in the space that's true to you versus trying to, like, be somebody else's clone, you know?
Yeah, I think you're more susceptible, or you're more open to pivoting, too. If you're trying to do the exact thing that somebody else did and it's not working for you, you start thinking, like, what am I doing wrong? Well, maybe it's not for you.
Yeah.
So go in another direction or explore some other opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So what would you share with someone if they came to you and said, I'm really trying to find my happy? They're confiding in you that they're trying to find their happy. What would you share with them?
I would start by saying, like, first of all, I think happy is not that elusive. I think you kind of know what makes you happy. What you're looking for is confirmation that that thing could result in you being either happier or settled in that feeling of happiness. So being honest about how you really feel, and maybe it's just about doubt, about taking risk, rather than, like, I have no idea what makes me happy. Like, there are elements of everything you do in life. If it's extra guacamole on the taco, that makes you happy, keep doing that.
Right.
I like event planning. I don't like to be in front of you. You know those kind of things. And so I think it's really just, like, let's really kind of dive deep into figuring out what those things are and naming it and being honest that those are the things that are making you happy, and then kind of create an opportunities for you to be as happy as possible in your day-to-day. Fill those your days up with as much happy as you can.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Shanti, anything to add
too.
To that?
Yeah, I would add something that worked for me was sitting down and writing a list of the things that make me happy and the things that I'm passionate about and the things that I love, and looking at that list and seeing how you're implementing that in your life. So if you say, like, being fit in shape or just feeling good internally makes you happy, do that.
And if there's an opportunity for you, as this example, being fit and in shape, you like telling other people what they can do to get fit and in shape. Maybe you need to be a coach. Maybe you can get online and start creating some curriculum around dietary things that people can do to feel better about themselves and exercise things. It's really the things that are genuine to you that make you happy. I really think there's an opportunity for all of us to create careers around that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does start with, like, maybe creating a list and getting specific with yourself and mapping out as much as you can how to get there.
Right. So I like to say that a lot, and I didn't figure this out until starting my own personal switch, pivot, or quit journey, but I like to say that a lot of making a switch, pivot, or quit, or making impact and changes in your professional life has to do with making an impact or making changes in your personal life, developing personally. So are there any things that you ladies do, maybe personal care-wise, like feeding back and giving back and pouring back into yourself, maybe, that you'd like to share that you just, you know, enjoy indulging in, makes you feel good?
Ooh, I just started Self-Care Sundays.
Ooh.
Check me out at @loveshanti on Instagram. So every Sunday, I like to sit down and do some self-care, whether that be a face mask, whether that be binge watching on Netflix while I'm sipping tea or some kind of cocktail or glass of wine. That is what I'm going to do. So that's the most recent thing that I love that I do.
Man, I have to say, I feel like I kind of do a little self-care all the time.
That's good.
It's good.
I feel great about being in a position where I recognize the things that I need on a day-to-day basis. So I don't, and my schedule, I don't have kids, I don't have a husband, so if I want to put on a face mask on Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can just tell the clients I'm not available during that time.
Right.
I can do that. I'm not living the high life necessarily, but it's a high life for me, you know, like my closet isn't full of Louboutins and all that, but I'm not a cuddle bear, but it's really like, I need the day to day. I like to wake up. I wake up at the crack. Chunky knows this. I wake up at 5 or 6, have coffee, watch the sunrise, meditate, do a little Bible if I can, despite as much as I drink and curse, I am a Christian who likes to dive into scripture every now and then. But like, that's my indulgence too, a daily indulgence of taking time for myself and entering the day slowly, as opposed to waking up to an alarm and then immediately getting on my phone and reading terrible news. I make that time for myself every day, and hopefully that also goes with a happy hour or a happy hour lunch and things like that, as much as I can sprinkle those other happy moments throughout the day.
I love that.
Do you have a morning routine?
My morning routine recently, now that I have switched, pivoted, and quit, and I'm doing my own thing, consulting, community marketing, I need to gain some structure. I want to gain more structure in my day, but I just allow myself to wake up when my body naturally wakes up. And so that's anywhere between 7 or 8 a.m. And I make sure I schedule out time for calls and clients during set hours so that I'm not scrambling all over the place and trying to be reactive towards things. So I try to set my day up in a way that I can feel less anxious, because that's a natural thing that can happen when your alarm clock goes off and you gotta hit the door and run.
Absolutely.
So that's something that I just always try to make sure I fit in.
I just want to say, like, you know, because I explained earlier that I've been working for myself for 13 years now. It took me a while to get to this place where I'm like, oh, I'm having happy hours, I'm taking coffee in the morning. I did not start off that way at all. I did spend a lot
make that clear.
Of
I love
hours
it.
For years hunting for clients, and always, like, when you work for yourself, it's like, when does this contract expire and how am I going to fill it in with another client? I imagine you're constantly looking for work. So I don't want to come off as like I've just been smooth sailing all this time. I definitely have not. I'm in a little grace period right now, and I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can.
Right.
And then I this new era of Olivia has been really focused on introducing other people to each other and finding resources and support for each other, which is not something I took time to really think about and do before. In my old age, now I'm like, I want to build some community for myself and for the other women that I'm bringing to the table. So that's been another journey that I've been on.
And I love that you're doing that, because that's how we're all sitting here today.
Exactly.
Because of you. Being a connector. Yeah, so I love that. Absolutely. And you also just touched on something that I feel like we should go back into a little bit, because you said, look, my story looks the way it does now, but it hasn't always looked like this.
Right.
So you also mentioned that you're a person that's not huge on social media. Now, a lot of people now think that, but you've been independent and doing your own thing for 13 years. And a lot of people think that being independent is solely dependent upon social media and social media success. So I want to know your thoughts, and maybe if you have any tips as to how you think you've been able to maintain being independent. And then Shanti, who, like she said, she's a micro influencer. So a lot of what she does is visual on something like Instagram. So I want you guys to both speak on this and maybe how you feel about where sort of things like social media and Instagram and stuff have sort of conditioned our minds to, with relation to being independent and all of that, how you make it work and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'll say I've been hesitant, even though with the clients that I work with, I do a lot of video or podcasts or photos and events. I've never been comfortable in front of the camera. Even though I'm on my own sports show, I still don't really like the camera being on me. So I haven't created social media platforms for myself where I show those different aspects of my personality that much. If they're related to my work, I do it. At the workshop I put on, I have to have a social media page, and I just focus that on Instagram. For the kind of client work that I'm doing beyond the workshop, I've just chosen one platform, and that's LinkedIn. Because the type of people that I need to connect with are on LinkedIn. And so I think it's important for people, the advice I give to folks is really just identify those platforms that make sense for your brand. Don't feel like you do Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, you do the stories and I'm on Snapchat. You're just running yourself ragged. Find out where your community lives and then be the best you on that platform.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, finding the community where everyone lives and then also knowing your audience. So if your audience is living on LinkedIn, that's where you need to live too.
Yeah. Or your potential clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm coming from both sides, from the consulting side, which I am fairly new to, and then also from the micro influencer side, which I've been doing that for about 3 years. And as of the past year, I've put more energy into it to even know what micro influencer means and be able to pour that in. So on my perspective, I do use my social platforms for my business, and I also use it for the influencer side of things that I do, which is to work with brands that I absolutely like care about, that align with my values, and that I can give honest feedback to the community as well about the product or service or whatever it is, relationship that I have with that brand. Social media is a huge part of my business. Mm-hmm. Everything is very visual on both sides, I feel like, with what I do with events, and then also visual with the micro influencer side. People want to see the experience. They want to see themselves in the product. They want to be inspired. And then also I use social media as a tool of discovery so that people can find me that I might not have necessarily known about or be able to find myself. So that's what works for me. At first I was using every platform known to man. I was just trying everything. And I learned, okay, this is where my audience is living. This is where my community is living. And this is where I can thrive. And this is what I need to focus on because it's too much for one person to manage 10 social accounts plus your own personal account.
And what do you say to those people who publish on multiple accounts and they're publishing the same thing? It's like, why do that?
It's redundant.
It should look like one thing on Instagram and it look totally different on Facebook. I mean, there's some crossover, but it annoys me when I see, like, I just checked here and you're not
the really reshare
tapping into the audience.
Right. The reshare. And what I would say to that is one side of people, they are... maybe they're using these scheduling tools, and they are pushing out the same content to all channels, thinking that they're reaching different audiences on each channel. So that could be their strategy. But if your audience is on all the channels and they're seeing all the same stuff, then you just look repetitive.
Right.
And look like you're not.
People,
like,
get turned off eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like if the content that you're pushing out is really best for, we'll say, Instagram, and you're using that on Facebook or LinkedIn, you're not noticing how people are using that platform, so people are just ignoring you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to turn LinkedIn into Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting pictures of my niece, her first steps
on LinkedIn.
That's what you know on LinkedIn.
Right.
So just having those apps that allow you to publish on multiple channels, I don't think that's helpful.
Right. Unless you diversify the content that you're sharing.
Yeah. I don't mean to say, like, yeah, none of them are helpful.
So let's talk a bit about success. We touched on it a little bit earlier. Nella was mentioning success is relative, you know. But I want to find out from you ladies, what do you feel is success for you? What does that look like? What does success look like?
Gosh, success for me is ever evolving. Especially being a business on your own and your own entity, you're going to have your ups and downs and ebbs and flows. And I knew that and know that going and coming into it. And so I would say it's a series of small wins.
Mm. Okay, I like that.
For me, success is really being able to remain independent and be able to craft contracts and things on my own terms. I mean, it's clear that, you know, there's some clients that are going to have particular needs of my time or, you know, deliverables will change here and there. But as long as I'm able to schedule my day in a way that I'm not at the end of the day going like, oh, God, I didn't do anything that I really want to do. It's right. not adding value to my experience. I'm not gaining any knowledge. I'm not learning from anyone else or giving it to somebody else. I find that a successful day when that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, like, my Tuesdays are no different than Saturday. When you work for yourself, it's mm-hmm. all the same hustle. But if that hustle feels good and genuine, then I feel successful.
I love that. I love that. So, ladies, before we wrap up, let everyone know where they can find you, where they can keep up with you, where they can hang out with you, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm always looking for new friends. On Instagram, my handle, right? See, I don't even know. My handle is OYS Workshop. That stands for Own Your Story Workshop, and that's because I put on a personal branding workshop all over the Bay Area, and actually going to Seattle and Denver and Chicago over the next few months putting on the workshop. So if you go to my social media page, my handle, OYS Workshop, you can find out where I am in the country.
Awesome. Website?
My website is my name, oliviachristian.co.
Perfect.
Shanti? Thank you for asking me that question.
So all of my business information lives on loveshanti.com. And you can follow me at Love Shanti on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. I'm on all of the platforms. And what was the question again?
That's pretty much it.
Oh, that's how you can find me and keep up with what's going on socially. But in person, I have an event coming up on the 21st. It's called Femme Faire, and it's like a collective of women, creatives, that sort of thing. And it's like a mini conference that's supposed to aim to empower women.
In San Francisco.
Awesome. Tickets are available. Mm-hmm. You can go on my page to find out how to get those. And I hope to see you all there.
If you're suddenly feeling this empty feeling like someone is missing, it's probably because someone is missing. We had to say goodbye to Nella midway through the interview because duty called. She had to run off to her bourbon duties. But if you want to keep up with Nella and check her out on Instagram, you can do that. Her handle is at King Nails, and that is KingNelz. So definitely check her out. Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. This has been a great conversation. You really were very candid about your experiences, and I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Yay. And as always, guys, keep killing it.